Natural Resources is open. We have just one bill before us today, House Bill 2971. The bill is scheduled only for a work session, but because we had a call of the Senate last time around and several other bills that were of high importance, not everybody that wanted to be able to chance to get something on the record was able to. This is an important issue for the state. It's an important issue for the advocates on both sides of the issue. And I wanted to allow another opportunity for people to be able to say what they needed to say and for the committee to hear it. I'm not going to open it up to just testimony for anybody who wants to sign up, though, because we are in a work session. But we do have a sign-up sheet of folks that are going to, and we're not going to add to the list. Just so folks know who that is, that's Rod Harder, Stephen Kafori, Al Elkin, Kelly Peterson, Ivan Molesky, Brian DeLashmet, and Barbara Wilson. The agency is also here, so committee members, if you wanted to call up somebody from the agency for questions, they're certainly available to do that. I've also told everybody who's going to testify that I would appreciate it if they kept their testimony as short as possible, since we're in a work session, so that the committee could get on with its work. The last thing, just to preface the testimony, is in the last hearing, I talked about the amendments that were presented to the committee that dealt with the training and qualifications of agents, as well as the six-year sunset. Those are still the only amendments before the committee. So if you're testifying to the bill, just remember that those amendments are before us as well. With that, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2971. Sue, I don't think we need you to go over it again. I think everybody is well aware of what we have before us.
Just for the record, Mr. Chair, we have received four letters that I would just mention.
Sure.
For the record. Stephanie Tidwell, Klamath Siskiyou Wildland Center of Ashland wrote a letter in opposition. William Gray from Cave Junction, also in opposition. William Mondale from Selma is opposed. And James McLeod of Williams, Oregon, also wrote a letter in opposition.
Okay, with that, we will start with Rod Harder, Steve Kafori, and Al Elkin.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Al Elkins, representing the Oregon Hunters Association. First of all, I'd like to thank Chair Roblin and his committee for sponsoring this bill. It's a concept bill form that we brought forward, and we do support the amendments. I don't know if they're the dash two or threes, Mr. Chair, but we do support the dash three amendments. So. In 1994, Ballot Measure 18 provided wording that said that nothing in subsection 1 prohibits the use of bait or one or more dogs by employees or agents of county, state, or federal agencies while acting in their official capacity. Currently in the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife does not believe that they have the ability to hire agents to use in management wildlife activities. This bill, House Bill 2971A, gives them the authority to do so. The bill allows them to appoint an agent. The amendments specify directly that they should provide training and also provides a sunset in relation to this whole concept. It further spells out how the department will accomplish through a written agreement in hiring agents. Our intent and the spirit of this bill is to keep Ballot Measure 18 language and use it, and this bill provides ODFW with another management tool to use in its research. That concludes my testimony. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you. Mr. Kafori.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Stephen Kafori. I'm here today representing the Wildlife Society Oregon Chapter, which is the Scientific Society for Wildlife Biologists. We're supportive of the bill with the amendments. This is an interesting bill, Mr. Chair. There are a lot of people in the state who are concerned about cougar management, there is no bill to deal with cougar management, and so the focus of that attention has happened on this bill, which really has nothing to do with cougar management except for the question of who does the cougar managing. It doesn't change the what of the cougar management plan. It doesn't change the how of the cougar management plan. It only changes who would do it and nothing else. If this bill were not passed, what would happen? The cougar management plan would go on the same as without the bill. The only difference would be that instead of using agents to with their dogs to hunt the cougars, they would have to, the ODFW would have to use traps. And I think most of the people in this audience who were opposed to the bill are also opposed to the use of traps because they're non-selective, and that is that they get animals besides cougars, and they can be damaging to the animals. If they're leg hold traps, they will can be injurious to the animals. So we think that this bill is a much more humane way to treat the issue of cougar management. We don't think it does anything to the dollar measure that was passed earlier by the vote of the people. We think it just, if you look at the words of that and the words of this bill, you find that they're the same. We think that all it does is change the interpretation by a certain lawyer who thought that agent didn't mean agent. We don't think the bill, if it doesn't pass, will have any effect, or if it does pass, either way, on the number of cougars that are managed in the state. I want to say one last thing, and that is that there are a number of people who are upset about the cougar management plan. And the one thing that's important to realize in this plan is that there's an adaptive management function. Adaptive management means you take a look at what you're doing and make changes based on the information from the assessment of your actions. In order to get the information to do that, we need to capture some cougars. And this is the best way and most humane way to do that. So we support the bill.
Question before you begin. The statement you made that you would not anticipate any greater number of cougars being taken because of this, that in essence this isn't, I'm taking what you meant by that is this isn't meant to be a thinning of the population.
Mr. Chair, the concept of how many cougars there are going to be in the state is a function of the cougar management plan. And that's done by a matrix, and I'm sure you've had a briefing on how that works. This bill has nothing to do with how many cougars will be taken. It doesn't increase the number of cougars. It doesn't decrease the number of cougars. It only gives a manner.
If that's the case, then why do the bill at all? Why not just allow the agency to manage the cougar population?
Well,
what does the inclusion of agents do then to make it a better management plan?
That's a good question, Mr. Chair. I'm going to answer it in two ways. First of all, the best, most efficient way to capture cougars is by using dogs. The ODFW does not own any dogs, and the people we have as biologists are not trained in the use of dogs. There are, however, people out there in the state of Oregon who do have dogs, who are trained in the use of dogs, and can use dogs for hunting cougars. In the absence of these people, our ODFW biologists would have to use traps. And there would be a cost of biologists where these people are going to be volunteers, number one. Number two would be a more humane and more effective means of capturing the animals.
All right. Mr. Harder?
Yes, Mr. Chair, can I ask a question?
Senator Bates.
What I'm inferring by what you're saying is not every time that a hunt was set up would be set to kill a cougar, but would be sometimes probably darting them and collaring them for study. Is that what you're telling us?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bates, there are a couple of reasons for capturing cougars under the Cougar Management Plan. Yes, one is for research, and in that case there would be calming them with a dart of some kind and collaring them with radio collars that we could follow their movements.
Follow up? And so is this part of what you perceive in this bill, that the hunting of cougars with dogs would be used not only for the killing of cougars, but would also be used for capturing cougars for study and releasing them again?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bates, exactly.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Harder.
Mr. Chair, I'm of the committee. For the record, I'm Rod Harder. I'm a National Rifle Association consultant for the state of Oregon. I've been involved with this cougar for far too long. Probably goes back 15 or 16 years. Would agree with the chair's comment during the last hearing. This really doesn't have anything to do with Measure 18. Everything is being conducted within the parameters set forth in the law created by Measure 18. It has little to do with the Cougar plan as far as people complaining about it or criticizing it. Now, I just want to very quickly go over what happened with the Cougar plan. The Cougar plan was put into effect over a period of 15 months. There were 8 public hearings. There were 346 people that attended those, and they took 351 comments. There were 9 months of public input. There were 2 peer reviews. The agency sent out all their plans or their drafts to their peers all over the United States, and comments were taken back. They were included in the plan. There were 2,700 public comments. And I attended 2 commission meetings where this was all thrashed out, beat up, chewed up, thrown back out for another peer review before it was adopted. It's not like this thing was just somebody's whim. This was put in using scientific input. It was put in using public comment. It was put in over a period of almost 2 years. So it is a plan that is in place. This bill has nothing to do with that plan. And that having said, I oppose the bill. I opposed the plan when it came out. And I did that based on the fact that Fish and Wildlife would have to hire people to do the hunting and use hunter dollars to do it. And our objection was that when we had volunteers lined up who were willing and able to do it for nothing, that we objected to having to use hunter dollars to pay for it. And I think, Senator Ivakian, that answers your question about the reason for the bill. There is no reason to pay people to do it when we have these volunteers. I would support the bill with the amendments as articulated by the chair, the A3s, and I just wanted to add one other thing, and that was a question that someone had about how this progresses over private land. You don't just put the dog down and let him chase the cougar from one parcel to the next parcel to the next parcel. You have to get permission from each landowner that you're going or you anticipate going across with the dog in pursuit. And there was a question about that, so I would, for the record, wanted to put that down there. Thank you very much. That concludes my testimony.
Questions? Seeing none, thank you all three very much. Barbara Wilson, Brian DeLashman. That'll leave Mr. Molesky all by himself, but that's up to the four of you. But Mr. Molesky isn't a big boy, he can't take care of himself, but we'd spread it out a little bit.
Chair Ivakian and committee members, my name is Kelly Peterson, and I'm the Oregon Program Director for the Humane Society of the United States, and I'm here today representing our 130,000 members and constituents here, and I do appreciate the opportunity to testify. I wasn't able to last week. I also, just as a citizen, I've been involved in this issue since I guess started testifying in 1997 on any type of repeal attempts of Ballot Measure 18, and I do differ. I think this is about Ballot Measure 18. The Cougar Management Plan is really a direct result. It came out of what the ODF&W estimated the cougar populations at back in 1994, immediately following the passage of Ballot Measure 18. They also, if complaints and non-hunt mortalities are over the levels of what they were in 1994 when Ballot Measure 18 was approved, that is a trigger for the Cougar Management Plan. At that time, they estimated the population at 3,000. The population model they're using today is no different than it was years before, from what I understand. And we have no way of knowing if that's even an accurate estimate. And I will also say, we did FOIA and we did request comments that came in on the Cougar Management Plan from the scientific community. And they were critical of the population model that was used. Complaints as any form of trigger to allow killing to occur in the plan. And also even the leading expert, Dr. Paul Beyer, submitted comments. And I think you have that. That was submitted last week as well. We were part of the stakeholder group. The plan was highly controversial, but it was guaranteed to us that professionals, ODF&W or ODF&W staff or APHIS would be doing the killing in the plan. ODFNW stated again and again that this is not an attempt to allow hound hunters, volunteer hound hunters, to circumvent that plan and to implement the killing. And here we are today discussing House Bill 2971, which does the very same thing. Also, we think that this bill, and actually the Cougar Management Plan, is a broad interpretation of Ballot Measure 18, the 498.164, the statute, subsection 2. It's really broad to think that you can interpret that as allowing hound hunters in the field again. And whether you call it management or whether you call it hunting, it places hunters back out in the field chasing cougars and bears with dogs. And it's something that we oppose. And so I'll let a few others. I know you're pressed for time.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Testimony, Ms. Wilson?
Well,
oh, one more thing?
Yes. I just wanted to add about the sunset. I do appreciate you working on the bill. I do think it's incredibly difficult, you know, to put a match on a flame and then try to pull it back. I would also argue that once hunters are out in the field, you know, you could say, oh, they're already out there. Let's just go a little bit further. And so we are very sensitive to that. And so I do appreciate you.
Thank you. Ms. Wilson, thanks for coming back again.
I testified last week or whenever it was, so I'll be very brief. I have a question.
You did, but just so folks who might be listening or watching know, you're here testifying again, even though this is a work session, because I rushed you very quickly through your testimony last time. You weren't able to say everything you wanted to say. And, you know, we have a few minutes, and I wanted to respect the fact that you get another chance.
I'm approaching my opposition to this bill on the basis that I do believe many, many, many more cougars will be killed. And I have read the Cougar Management Plan, and ODFW said they will not let the population go below 3,000, but there are 5,100 cougars in the state. I do have a 5,100 cougars in the state at this time. They haven't said they'll kill 2,000 cougars, but this question lingers. They haven't said they won't either. This is my question. First of all, let me say thank you for the amendments that you have put together. You did say to me a couple of times that you would ask ODFW to report to this committee every 2 years on black bear and cougar populations, but I haven't seen that written, and maybe I haven't seen the latest version of the amendments. I would ask that you defeat this bill, but the amendments are good. Okay. All right. My question, let me see if I can verbalize this so everyone understands. The state would be divided up into zones, and the cougars would be killed by agents. I think I'm not part of a joke here. But
no.
Oh, okay.
Not at all.
All right. Okay. The state is divided up into zones, and there'll be a cougar quota for each zone, okay, and the cougars will be killed to reach that quota, okay. Now, in 2006, there were 38,719 cougar tags sold. Okay, the number is very high because the hunters were not using dogs. Are you following me so far? Okay, so we need to have an amendment that spells out these cougar tags need to be reduced, because if the agents are using dogs, the kill will be very successful. So if you've got 38,000 tags out there in the field, how will you tell these recreational hunters that the quota has been fulfilled and they can't use their tag? That's my question. I think an amendment needs to be put into the bill that explains this, because we don't want 38,000 tags. to be issued when the agents are using dogs and will take the quota for each area.
All right, it's a fair question. I think it's a fairer question to the agency than to me. They're going to be directed by this committee to institute some rulemaking procedures. I think that some of those are going to cover some of the things that you just mentioned. At least I would hope that they would. And if they're not adequate, they'll be back before this body again, if the bill passes.
Mr. Chair, can I offer a comment?
Senator Bates.
I understand your reasoning, but that's essentially the situation right now, what you just described. The recreational hunters are taking 200 to 250 cougars every year right now in the state, if my numbers are correct from my memory. And ODFW is taking several hundred also every year. The only thing that changes this equation is how those cougars are taken by ODFW. They're not going to take any more than they took before, and there's no reason that I could see to expect recreational hunters to be more successful in their hunting because they're hunting the same methods they've always used. So the total taken cougars, from my point of view, from what I've been told and what I understand here, should be roughly the same. However, having it checked every 2 years is more than appropriate.
Ms. Wilson, your point is not lost on this committee.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Ivan Malesky, Brian DeLashman.
Chair Vakian, members of the committee, for the record, Ivan Malesky, I'm the conservation coordinator with the Oregon Chapter Sierra Club. And we had an opportunity to testify. Sally Mackler, our wildlife chair, is resident of Jacksonville, Oregon, came last week. And so I'm gonna be very brief because we did have an opportunity to talk. Just to reiterate, however, we are opposed to this bill. We believe the bill is, frankly, quite unnecessary, and that there are, in fact, ways to clear up this agent issue that the ODFW has without expanding authorities of the under the Cougar Management Plan and expanding the use of agents into the Cougar Management Plan. And we Representative Buckley had introduced a -1 amendment on the House side that we supported that would have simply allowed the expansion of volunteers as agents, but strictly for the purpose of damage complaints where you've specifically got a cougar that's in a neighborhood or in an area hurting livestock or pets or threatening kids, that would be an animal that those agents could be employed to go after. We think that the expansion of the Cougar Management Plan brings in the Cougar Management Plan, which is partly why I think you've taken a lot of fire over this issue. And so I want to let you know what we did. We support it as well. So I do. We are appreciative that you've attempted with some amendments to try to hold ODFW to a higher standard. We do think, however, they don't go far enough. The sunset could perhaps be brought reined in a little bit, and there can be some higher scientific standards, I think, that we would appreciate. Since the Cougar Management Plan has been brought into this legislation, we ultimately think it should be used. We should be having discussion of the scientific standards used to develop the plan, and this body should look at pieces or elements to hold it to a higher standard here. That may not be where we get today, but I hope that your involvement in this issue and these hearings have signal a commitment to work on these issues in the future, and we look forward to being part of that as best we can. I think some of those elements that I'd like to call your attention to, there's a real need for accurate population numbers of cougars in the state. I think that we don't really have a good handle on that. We're dealing with outdated ways to find that out. Cougars are very elusive, and we can't just take it on complaints or numbers that were killed by cars or by hunters, et cetera, et cetera. That's a big piece. I think the Cougar Management Plan needs to be held to a higher standard of peer review than it has been up to this point. A lot of its methodologies really, frankly, aren't research. There's a lot of killing going on and assumptions made about what the impacts are going to be, and we don't know on the ground. Ultimately, there also needs to be more funding and focus on non-lethal techniques to help prevent cougar interactions with humans that are in a negative way. I think that's one area where the Cougar Plan really lacks, that we're not seeing a lot of emphasis on the methodologies of taking cougars, not enough emphasis on how do we help communities protect themselves and be safe in a way that doesn't have to be lethal to cougars. So I'll leave it at that, and I think that's all I have to add at this moment in time. So thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
For the record, Brian DeLashman, representing the Humane Society of the United States. You've heard most of the arguments that I had planned on going through, but I did want to point out, as I've become involved in this issue and was brought on and retained to work on behalf of the Humane Society, what I saw as I went through the numbers, and it was amazing to me to see the number of takes that has increased by recreational hunters because of the additional tag sales. So as a hunter myself, I've been hunting in the wilds of Oregon since I was around 11 or 12. I've never seen a cougar. It's hard for me to comprehend that all of a sudden, because we're taking more cougars than we've ever taken before, that the cougar population is actually increasing as much as it supposedly is based upon the research or lack of research that's going on in the state. For the complaints to be the trigger for the cougar management plan or for the estimation of population, I think is probably a little bit of foul science. You know, as populations go out into these rural areas, as people continue to hike into these rural areas, as communities and houses go into these rural areas, obviously the complaint numbers are going to go up. That doesn't mean that the population has gone up. It just means that we're into their territory now the more than we've ever been before. As has been indicated, if the only thing in the three speakers that spoke in support of the bill indicated all they were really trying to do was clarify the language about agents so that they could go out and they could use somebody as a hound hunter who's an agent for either research or for culling these populations, well, then the Dash Ones that were offered on the House side would have done that. The bill, the way it came across, is broader than that. It doesn't just clarify an agent. It does more than that. And, in fact, I think this discussion is about the Cougar Management Plan and what the citizens of the state of Oregon really felt they were passing in Measure 18, and that was that they felt that the use of dogs and hound hunting was an inhumane way to, in fact, hunt this particular species or these two species. With that, I'll close. But I think you've heard all the arguments. We're obviously disappointed about the discussion that's occurred, the sensitivity about the Cougar Management Plan and what was promised as far as professional hunters versus all of a sudden now we're going to use somebody who, quote-unquote, is not an employee of the federal government or the state government. And with that, I'll close. Thank you.
Seeing no questions, thank you both very much. And that will conclude our testimony today. We, committee, are in a work session. Before we take any motions, if any are to be made, would the committee like to? I'm going to want to make some comments. I'm going to make them before we take a motion, but I'll open that up to the committee as well if they'd like to.
I'd like to make some comments too, but you.
Why don't I go first, and you can you can add to them. Been a very, in some ways, very difficult bill, very difficult issue for a long time in this building, and it has been heard this time around. And this might be the third, maybe the fourth committee that this issue has come up. Came up on the House, came up in the Subways and Means Committee that I sit on. And now two hearings in this committee. And I have to say that much of the testimony has concerned me. Much of the testimony from the agency has concerned me. And I've taken notes throughout the hearings, the ones I watched on the House side and the several I've sat in on this side. And I want to illustrate why it concerns me. And whether or not this bill passes in a few minutes, these things I'm going to mention must be addressed. As an example, from one agency employee in a different hearing than this, I heard the words that the top priority with this bill and the Cougar Management Plan was public safety. Yet, in other hearings, I have heard from other agency employees that this provides a cost-saving measure since the agents don't have to be paid. At the same time I've heard that it'll be a cost-saving measure, I have heard in yet another committee that if implemented, this bill will not result in cost savings to the agency because there'll need to be additional supervision from current employees in order to make sure that the agents are working in a responsible manner. I've also heard in one committee that verified complaints can include sightings and just a report on a sighting, and yet I've heard from a different person from the agency in another hearing that physical evidence of the cat's presence is necessary in order to be listed as a verified complaint. these things have not instilled a great deal of confidence in me. In a more general sense, I've personally studied the cougar and the bear plans both. I've had folks that I trust study them, and I've consulted. And I am not persuaded that those plans, even though relatively new, are based on good scientific method or reliable and valid statistical evidence. Now, as time goes by, that might change because the plans are relatively new, and I grant that to the agency. But at this point, I am not persuaded that those plans are adequate in order to manage either the cougar population or the effect that population has on deer and elk populations. So if the bill passes today, there are the -3 amendments that come from me that do two things, and I'm very serious about both of them. One of them is that it directs the agency to institute rulemaking in order to guarantee some type of training and qualifications for these individuals that are would-be agents. It also suggests to the agency that you do criminal background checks on these individuals, because we want to ensure, if this bill passes, that you have good supervision of these people and that they are of the highest quality both in their citizenship and in their ability to carry out the mission of your agency in a way that is safe for people and that is safe for the animals. Because I'm not persuaded that that would be the case otherwise. The other is the 6-year sunset. This, if the bill passes, is a new endeavor for the agency and for the state. I want there to be a checkpoint. Ms. Wilson mentioned that the periodic review every 2 years is not specifically mentioned in the bill. I didn't put it in the bill. I have every confidence on this point that after hearing these comments today, that the agency will be back in 2 years and will be back 2 years after that until that 6-year time period comes in order to verify with this committee that the cougar management plans are being implemented in a responsible way and are based on scientifically verifiable data and statistics. And 2 years from now, if this committee discovers that is not the case, then I would be very loath to not present another bill that will change what happens today if this bill passes. With that said, Senator Bates.
Thank you. I'm fully supportive of what the good chair just spoke to. This is a highly charged emotional situation. I've received letters and emails that are at times caustic from both sides. And I think both sides at times have exaggerated their position. But when I get down to what I think I see here is a situation where we have a group of people who feel that hunting cougars with dogs is inhumane. That's where you're getting to here. I'm not convinced there's going to be any significant change in the number of cougars killed every year. And the question really for those people is the feeling that this is an inhumane thing to be doing and that it flies in the face of the previous ballot measure. On the other hand, I've been moved by people who feel that they are being threatened by cougars now in rural parts of the state. The increased number of sightings and the increased number of interactions can be the result of people moving into those areas, or it can be an increase in the cougar population in those areas. And I don't know which one is the truth. Probably some of both. Having said that, I think it's necessary that we deal with the issue in front of us. The issue in front of us for me is not the cougar management program. It's a question of how that program is run and what is the best way to have that program continue to run versus opening the program up for questions. From my point of view, if you're going to be killing cougars for a cougar management program, I'd rather see it done by dogs than done by traps or random shooting, where animals are commonly injured and hurt but not killed and escape to suffer at a later time. I've seen it happen. I know it does happen. The other issue from my point of view is the cougar management program and the issue of how cougars are actually counted in the state. And I joined the chair in having real concerns about that. That is another discussion that should occur. Because we find the Cougar Management Program is based on unreliable data, and that's a program we shouldn't have, then we should do away with the program entirely. And this becomes a moot point. So for the time being, I think that the amendments you are suggesting are probably appropriate. I'm going to focus strictly on the issue in front of us in this bill, which is how are we going to run the management program, and I'm not going to get into a discussion of the management program itself at this time, although that has to be brought up at the next biennium. I think we have to have some assurance that what the department is doing as far as counting cougars and what the population trends are in different parts of the state is real and not something that is the result of false data. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, committee, we are in work session. Are there any motions?
Mr. Chair, I move the dash three amendments to the bill.
Committee, we have a motion before us. Matt, we're going to do a roll call if there are votes today. So thank you, Senator Atkinson, for moving the dash three amendments. Committee, any discussion? No? Roll call on the amendment, please.
Senator Atkinson?
Yes.
Senator Bates?
Yes.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Aye. With that, the dash threes are adopted. Are there any further motions?
Mr. Chair, I'd move the House Bill 2971A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Atkinson moves 2971 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Are there any discussions? I would add the thought, in case the committee wants to discuss it, that if there are enough votes to pass the bill, the chair is not asking the committee for a due pass recommendation. I'll leave that up to the committee.
I would suggest that we just send this to the floor with no recommendation.
Mr. Chair, I would for a vote on the motion with a due pass recommendation is in front of us. In fact, if the I just think if the bill moves out of the committee with if the bill's going to move out of the committee, it should have a recommendation. It's just my opinion.
All right. With that, we'll take a roll call on this motion. If the motion passes, obviously the bill will go to the floor. I'll assign a carrier. If the motion does not pass, then I will ask once again if there is another motion. Matt?
We are voting on
whether or not the bill will go to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
No.
Aye.
Yes.
No. With that, the motion fails. Are there any additional motions?
Chair, I'd move House Bill, whose number I already forget, 2971A, as amended. We move to the Senate floor, with no recommendation.
Senator Bates moves House Bill 2971 as amended to the floor with no recommendation. Any discussion?
If this motion fails, what's the next motion?
I'll leave that up to the committee members. All right, Matt, call the roll.
Let me have a comment here first. This is a bill that's going to be controversial on the floor. It may or may not have the votes on the floor. I want the floor members to have an opportunity to, as we have, look at this carefully, make up their own minds, and vote as they will without any recommendation from the committee. And that's why I'm doing it the way I'm suggesting.
All right. Matt, call the roll.
Senator Beyer?
Aye.
Senator Atkinson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Senator Bates?
Yes.
Senator Blackie?
Aye. And with that, the motion passes. The bill will go to the floor. Senator Bates, you will be the carrier. And
that's why we get the big bucks, folks.
Committee, for the folks that came back to testify on both sides of the issue, I appreciate your patience a week ago with the tight schedule of the committee. I appreciate you being here again today. With that, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2971A. And with that, yes, Senator Atkinson.
Before we close this, I think we should say a few things. Number one, you have been a fantastic chair, an absolute delight to work with. And I really appreciated Sue. And you're a pro. You've just started here, and you've done a great job, Matt. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you for that. And, Matt, I appreciate your work this session very much. You helped keep this committee efficient and running well. It was a great help to me and to the committee. Sue, you, the same comments, but also just personally have been a great help to me. This committee has had some very, very big issues, some very difficult issues, some of the most complex issues I've seen a committee work through in this building. Not everybody got what they want, included the chair sometimes, but we got through it, I think, in very good fashion, and it has been an absolute pleasure chairing this committee. I appreciate every one of your work on the committee.
You know, I enjoyed serving the committee, too, and I got to tell you that at times I was working on health care so much that I felt I had to rely on other members of the committee to keep me informed and keep me moving, and one of the people I relied on the most was Senator Beyer. I really appreciated your expertise and your thinking in this committee. And many times I would listen to what you were thinking and saying and help me make my vote, too. So I appreciate your work here.
Thank you.
I've had a chance to work with you before, and I've really agreed. Really gain an appreciation for who you are and your thinking. You're one of the smartest people in the Senate floor, and I appreciate that.
I don't know about that, but thank you very much for the comment.
You truly are.
Listen, I would concur, but to be perfectly fair, Senator Atkinson is a sharp dresser, and I.
Thanks a lot.
That adds a lot to the committee, too.
Mr. Chair, again, I guess I'd like to say I appreciate. You know, I've offered a lot of, contrary opinions to the chair on different issues we worked with, but I appreciate you've always been willing to let me have my day in court, so to speak, and put them on the record, air my opinions, and have a fair shot at trying to convince people, and appreciate that very much. It's very important to have an open process and a fair process, and you've granted that.
Well, you're welcome, and even though, you know, most of them, maybe all of them, I don't know, weren't adopted, I tell you, they added to what I thought was a much fuller discussion. And I appreciated it very much, too. With that, Sue?
Actually, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I have just something I'd like to say. I want to thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to sit up here with you and listen to a wealth of information. I feel like I've learned a lot. And just for those of you who keep track of these things, I wanted to let you know that we had 169 bills referred to our committee. Of those, 125 were Senate bills. 53 of those bills received a due pass or be referred to a subsequent committee. 44 House bills, and of those 43 due pass or referred to a subsequent committee. So we have a grand total of 96 bills that passed out of this committee.
Question. Did you just include the last bill we did without a due pass?
Uh-oh, the whole sheet needs to be included now.
Can count on you to.
All right. Sue, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. You all serve the state very well, and with that, we are adjourned. Thanks, Sue.